Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This season, prepare for every season with the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. These shoes were made for adventures in rain, shine, mist, or snow. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with purchase.
Hello and welcome to Brett and Cliff's Flea Circus. I am Cliff, and hello to you.
Hello. This week I'd like you to refer to us as Night Wolf.
Night Wolf? Okay. Yes. I mean, I never refer to you by your name throughout the recording of the podcast at
you
all.
You don't, actually.
You say it every week, but it comes to nothing.
It does come to nothing. I don't know why I persist, to be perfectly honest.
Well,
hopefully the Night Wolf name will stick.
Okay, well, it's a good one. I quite like it. It's very Thanks. Moody. Look at the sky behind me. That's moody, isn't it?
It is moody, yes. It looks good. Yeah. Do you know what those clouds are called? Gloomy or Nimbus?
Yeah. Cunilinimbus.
Always back to the cunnilingus with you, isn't it? Always. You're obsessed. You'll end up like Michael Douglas.
Well, one can only
if you're not careful. One can only wish. So what you been up to? What you been doing?
Not a great deal of stuff. I have just berated you for having a quiet microphone and changed your computer. And then I realized I've just had you turned down really low. So yeah. I think it might be all right in the end.
Do you think that's what you do? Like all the time, you just turn us down low.
That's why I'm always going, what? What?
Eh?
What? Eh?
What'd you say?
What?
I know. Yeah,
that's what happens to that. What have I been doing? Well, what I've just been doing is eating an incredibly spicy curry. Like, made me give us a headache and a nose run. Very, very spicy.
Did it give you the hiccups?
I don't think I've got hiccups. No. But, well, actually, maybe I have.
I knew it.
It was Sri Lankan curry. You had Sri Lankan food before?
I don't think so, no.
I mean, I don't think I've ever had it. I'm going to say it's at the risk of offending Sri Lankans or Indian people. I'm going to say they're very similar.
Right.
But just very, very spicy, normally, the curries. And I've been to Sri Lanka twice, and it's great. And here's something. This will give you a laugh, and it'll give you... I'm at this very moment, with these words, I'm handing you a stick that you can use to beat me with.
All right, okay. Then that sounds good. I like that.
This curry, this Sri Lankan curry, was made by a lady who I pay to come in and cook food for us once every 2 weeks.
Well, I think, you know, that's best just left alone, isn't it? Because I would ask you if you had made the curry yourself, being a keen food guy. And you like getting your hands dirty in the kitchen, don't you?
I do, yeah, I do. That's I can't deny that, Brett. I can't deny it.
But you paid some woman to come in and do it for you.
Every couple of weeks, there's a lady who she works. She's like a nanny or something for one of Pearl's little friends. And apparently she's a great cook. So before Christmas, when we were really busy, she was like, I could come in for a couple of hours and just I cook whatever you want. I said, try cook some Sri Lankan food because I cannot make that. That's for sure. it's about 15 quid every couple of weeks. She comes in and cooks the amount of food this lady can make in 2 hours is absolutely insane. I've got tubs and tubs and tubs that'll keep us going all week. So,
well, that's good.
It's worth the money and it saves me cooking for hours every night.
I'm not big on cooking, as you'll know from when I nearly burnt my hand off.
Yes.
Making cheese on toast. But I'm realized that I don't like handling raw meat.
Okay. What occasions have you even tried it?
Well, I have handled raw chicken. It was chicken, and I didn't like the texture of that. It was awful. But the wife, she had an injection last week on Friday, a vaccine.
Yeah.
And normally she makes homemade burgers on a Saturday.
Okay.
And,
that's nice.
She was so ill that she wasn't able to make them, so I had to touch the raw mince, and I didn't like it.
Okay.
It was awful.
What was that? Just like a little treat for her while you're like, yeah, pet, while you're lying there, I know you normally make the burgers, but I've got, just to make you feel a little bit better, just watch this while I touch the mince.
That was exactly what it was.
Lisa, I've
got a little treat for you to touch this mince. You can roll this mince up. Yeah, it was a little bit like that. But yeah, I didn't like that. It was,
did you make the burgers or just touch the mince?
No, I decided against it. I couldn't do it in the end. I just had to, you know, say, I can't touch this mince.
For any longer.
Not because for me.
You would not just have to touch it. You would have to, like, mold it, put other things in it, I suppose.
I would have to do that.
Would you have to mix it? Were you planning on mixing it with a bit of raw egg and breadcrumbs, perhaps?
I had no plans to do that, Cliff. No plans whatsoever. Was that what I was meant to do? I mean, do you put
breadcrumbs? Well, do you just make them, do you just cut the mince out into a fucking
circle?
I didn't do it.
I don't cut mince. I don't touch mince. All I do is I arrive after the mince has been molded and cooked to my satisfaction.
Okay. What's your preference? What's your mince preference?
What do you mean? What type of mince is it? Beef mince. Is that what you mean?
It wasn't, because, I mean, that is the best mince, really, isn't it? tell you what, take your turkey mince and get the fuck out of my sight. Come on, anything to do with that, Mr. Asda, hide it.
I would imagine that you'd be able to mince various meats, wouldn't you?
I think all the meats you can mince.
All the meats?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Steak mince?
Yeah, that's
turkey mince.
Beef, I think, yep. no, what my question was, what form of mince do you prefer? I mean, in essence, these burgers, you're taking the mince and almost unmincing it by putting it back into the joint, you're joining it up. But if you're going to have somebody say, oh, I've got a lovely bit of beef mince in, what do you want us to make? I'm saying that to you. I've got a lovely bit of beef mince in, Brett. Nightwolf, sorry. What can I make you, Mr. Nightwolf?
Can I have mince on dumplings, please?
Mince on dumplings, did you say that?
Mince and dumplings? Or as my mum used to call it when we were younger, puddings in the corner. She did. that's what she called mince and dumplings.
Why?
Puddings
what?
In the corner.
What, in the corner? What, in the corner of what?
I guess it was in the corner of, like, the dish that you would cook it in, so that the dumplings would be in the corner and the mince would be in the middle. Puddings in the corner.
It sounds like a Victorian school ground game.
It does, doesn't it? The other thing that my mum told us once, she told us that saveloy dips were called saveloy biscuits. And I once went into Dixon's and asked for a saveloy biscuit. And they just started laughing at us.
Why did she tell you that?
I've got no idea.
It doesn't make any sense either. And we all know saveloys are best avoided. So,
well, all for you. You want to tell everybody why they should be avoided?
Because they cause immense sickness once you've had alcohol?
Not the drinking that you used to do, that didn't cause the sickness.
Sickness was made, it was brought on by the saveloys.
So what used to happen was every Thursday when we used to go out, my mom used to leave with something to eat, didn't she, before we went out? And it was always saveloy.
It was always a tray of saveloy biscuits or sandwiches, as most people would call them.
So then we'd eat them and go out and get absolutely tanked. And you'd always be sick and blame it on the saveloy.
I'm not budging from it. I maintain that it's the Savaloy's fault.
I don't think they're going to go just cause sickness. It's definitely the beer. Or maybe it's, what was them pink drinks that we used to drink?
Kangaroos.
Kangaroos, it was there.
Might have been the kangaroos. It wouldn't have been that. It was definitely the Savaloy's, sausage.
No way.
Yeah, no way. The worst idea ever made, ever thought of, was announced this week. When
was it?
I think ITV said they were going to make a 5-part drama about Boris Johnson and his handling of the coronavirus pandemic.
Yes, that is a very poor idea.
I can't understand Doran why
Benedict
anybody.
Cumberbatch and Boris Johnson.
Who
just
would it
like
be?
That Brexit one.
Who would it be that played him?
Who would it be? I've got no idea. Who could pull it off? Some fool. Who do you think?
Timothy Spall. No, he's too old, isn't he?
He could, though. I mean, I like Timothy Spall. He's a good actor.
He's ancient. He'll be about 65, wouldn't he?
He is. He's getting on.
What about, I think it might be Julian Rindtut.
Julian Rindtut?
Yeah.
Is that some, king or queen that's lived in Egypt?
No, he's a... He's a comedy actor who's in lots of things. You would know his face, but his name always amuses us. Not the Steve Coogan things and stuff like that, but
no, I've never heard of him.
I think he would play him. That's all
George
I'm saying.
George Doss does it on the bass. Yeah.
I know, but it's not not slapstick, not a comedy, not a fucking satire, a drama about it. You don't need to dramatize it. It's happening now. You don't need to do it, and it's awful. You don't need to make a TV show about.
It's not going to be accurate at all. They're not going to go, this is exactly what happened, right? This is. I mean, the writers will just be making it up.
Like the conversations that happen behind closed doors will be like imagined.
It'll be like that FIFA film with the Timothy Roth. What's his name?
Chris. Chrissy Rock, is that the woman off Benidorm? Who did she play? Blatter.
Yeah, Seth Blatter.
She is an old scouse woman, but lives in Sunderland.
Roth, who was in Tim Roth. Tim Roth, that's it. What did I say? Timothy Roth.
I thought you said Rock.
I said Timothy Rock. I was being very very polite about his name. Given his full first name, Timothy Rock. Yeah, I've now heard about that FIFA film that he's in where he plays Sepp Blatter.
No, I've never. Why would he play? Tim Roth is a thin, handsome, like blonde man about 30 years younger than fat old Sepp Blatter. It's weird.
It's about the creation of FIFA and stuff.
It's about
like
his younger days.
Yeah, must be.
Origin story.
Supposed
of
to be absolutely awful. Absolutely terrible, it's supposed to be.
Somebody said to me, if I was fucking Mr. Warner Brothers or wherever, Mr. Orion Entertainment, somebody said, got an idea for you. It's an origin story of Sepp Blatter. I'd go, nobody wants to see that. It's terrible. Terrible idea. Get out.
Can I just say that you've mentioned the best of the entertainments there with Orion?
Yeah, I am.
It was always a sign of quality on Nate's film when that came on at the start.
Have you seen the documentary about them?
I think so, yeah. I think
called Electric Boogaloo or something like that.
Something like that,
they made that film, didn't it? I think it's called that. Yeah. It's just...
It was either that or Canon. Yeah. You know it's going to be good.
Yeah, anyway, that's a terrible idea.
At least you'll see breasts in those films.
Oh, I thought you meant in the fucking Boris Johnson film. Just his.
And Giuseppe Albert.
Yeah. Johnson's breasts as he strips off after a hard day lying to people about the coronavirus pandemic and not being bothered that he's oversaw the death of fucking 100,000 people. Anyway. Just to lighten the mood a bit after talk of all that virus death, Dan Ward's just sent us a really funny video that's doing the rounds on Twitter. You know, obviously the Newcastle fans don't want Steve Bruce to be their manager. because
of course they do.
They want a different
person. The Geordie man, what's wrong with him?
I mean, and Rafa Benitez on the market. Bring him back. Bring him home.
Rafa Benitez.
Anyway, did they get beat again off somebody else the other day? I mean,
yeah, I think they got beat off Aston Villa. I think they got the tank off them. But I mean, the thing is about what do you think about Newcastle? And I mean, they're not going to watch the games, are they? But they're watching it at home. And I watched them against Villa, and they were absolutely awful. They didn't, at least if they offered something, they tried to attack. Do you know what I mean? But they don't.
I saw Bruce the other day give an interview, and it's just waffle. It's total bluster. It's like, and of course, I understand why they don't like him. They've played awful. And he's going, oh, well, St. Rafa only got us to 13th, and they all fucking loved him. I've done better than that. I mean,
the other thing as well is that obviously you manage Sullivan and Wakes at them. So they'll be looking at it as well as, well, he's not good enough for Sullivan. Because on the Twitter, I always see a picture of him. If some Newcastle fans having a go at him, a picture of him with his Sullivan scarf around him. You know what I mean?
I think as well, like, he keeps saying, I've got enough about us. I've got a CV long enough. I've been in this game long enough. I've managed 700 games. He's been sacked by everyone. He never won anything.
But the thing is, I get where they're coming from because, you know, in a way, because you want to watch your team have a go. And then
I totally get where they're coming from.
Yeah.
At the same time, some Newcastle fans are always going to be a bit funny. And I'm sure Newcastle fans think some Sunderland fans are a bit funny. So there's this tweet, some Newcastle fan just tweeted the state of our fans or something like that. And somebody's videoed themselves with a cabbage and Bruce Out written in biro on it, thrown it at the doors of St. James's Park.
just over and over again. Picking it back up, throwing it. Picking it back up, throwing it like that. That's brilliant.
Written in pen. Just funny, but I think it is disgraceful. I mean, the funny thing about this was like the if you look at all the stats and that, they're like the shittest performer. They've had least shots, least crosses, least possession. Uh-huh. And he went, well, it's time for an end of all of that. I'm stopped trying to play like Rafa Benitez wanted them to play, and they're going to have to play like me, like I wanted it to happen. And they were worse.
The other thing that they were the even thing worse. Which is quite funny. He said in a press conference, I'm not going to shy away from anything. And then he went, I won't take any more questions.
Do you remember that story when he was Sunderland manager? I think it was when he was Sunderland manager. And there was just, it was a full page picture of him like fat. And then a mock-up of like, or like a stock picture of a dark, of a fridge opening in the dark. And it was basically just him talking about how he can't resist a midnight pork pie.
Yeah, about, I do remember that.
He keeps putting weight on because I get up and I just have to go to the fridge. What a pork pie, two pork pies. I can't stop myself. It's so funny.
I mean, you must have seen the interview where he says, bacon, did you say?
And it's, he probably perks up. Brother perks up. Did you say bacon?
Bacon.
He's like going through the motions until he thinks he hears bacon. I mean, there's a lad on Twitter that
gotta be regarded as a genius for writing those books. Surely,
well, I mean, the striker books and that. There's a lad on Twitter called Rich Oliver that I know a bit, and he's started getting a lot of retweets and stuff because he's doing like fairly funny like videos where he's pretending to be Bruce. He's like got the camera really close to him and I see they're like Bruce. It's always him talking to the squad like after a game where they've obviously got beaten again, and he's like always like on the verge of tears, like trying to answer. But this squad are like shouting at him and stuff. It's proper funny.
Just to sum it up, I think that like all the teams in the northeast have been badly treated by the owners and the players who come in just for a payday and stuff like that. Middlesbrough, Newcastle, we're all in the same boat.
It's so easy for players who don't give a fuck to get away with it now.
It is.
When you're playing for a team that or a club that's being mismanaged by the board or by the owners, with a succession of kind of below par managers, it's easy for the players to get away with being shit, because obviously the deep rooted problems are there. They're well above them, but it doesn't mean that they're not also shit. And you can, it's obvious, like you can see it. A new manager comes in and you win a couple of games. All of a sudden you can, you can string some passes together. You can, you know what I mean? It's so obvious.
It's because the fans are so passionate. So if ever they do win a game or play well or whatever, we'll back them, and we'll, you know, Sunderland, our Newcastle fans do exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. We'll back them and, you know, we'll want them to do well. But they take that as if they're like, well, that's all I need to do. Every now and then I'll pull someone out of the bag or whatever. And it's just not good enough.
What do you think about a little bit more football? We'll move on. But Mr. Frankie Lampard got the chop.
He did. I mean, well, Chelsea are just a stupid football club, aren't they?
But it's mad. I saw the other day, willing to break the club record to sign Erling Haaland. Stop buying 20-year-old strikers, no matter how good they are. You don't need all of them. Like, you've got your best defenders, 36-year-old Thiago Silva. Like, sort it out.
Well, I watched the FA Cup game over the weekend when they played, and I mean, they did okay. I mean, won the game. If you know what I mean? What else is he supposed to do? There's this idea that because of that Chelsea now, that, you know, and they've got all this money behind them, that they should win things, they should be at the top of the league. But they're not the only ones that think that. You know, Arsenal, in fact, just every club in London think that way.
But, like, this is what I say all the time whenever I'm talking about football and, you know, people have been sacked. Literally, like, only one team can win the league. Like, only one. Uh-huh. So does that mean 19 other managers are going to get sacked every year, or are all failures? Because
That's the problem.
Like, it's, they're not, you know what I mean? Like, what's the point of giving Frank Lampard that job if you're going to sack him now? Well, of course he's not great. He's had one season where he didn't get Derby promoted. Like, why would he suddenly turn a team that were third into being winners? He's not going
I don't think it necessarily means that he's not a good manager. I think that, you know, all the things that he did with that, that Kepa keeper is just awful, isn't he?
And stupid. 80 million, the most expensive keeper in the world. Just because he's called keeper.
But the problem is that they brought all these players in. It takes a little bit of time, doesn't it, for them to settle in?
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't think Lampard, I don't particularly like Lampard. I don't think he's necessarily a bad manager, but he's not a very good manager yet, because he hasn't been doing it for very long.
He hasn't been given a chance, has he?
Yeah, and if Chelsea want to hire him, you've got to give him the chance. What's the point? Like, if you're not going to give Carlo Ancelotti and Antonio Conte the chance to do it, like, why would you give this guy? Just because he obviously doesn't matter that he played 400 games, and both the club and Frank Lampard's statements are just empty words to each other. I mean, it means nothing.
Lampard's
was like, I knew I was coming into the club in a difficult situation. Well, really, you were third, and I think you just won like the FA Cup or the League Cup the year before. Like, it's not the most difficult situation to take over a club in, is it?
There was like the transfer embargo, wasn't there, when he took over and he wasn't able to bring anybody in? I think that's
probably for the best, because they were better then.
Yeah. But, I mean, the thing is, like you've said, that there's so many good teams in that league. Do you know what I mean? The team I like watching, or the team that beat Newcastle over the weekend, Villa,
I mean, I have to hold my hands up. When they got promoted, I was like, well, these guys are going to go straight back down again. Who the fuck's Dean Smith? Like, who are any of the players? But they're brilliant. They're good. Uh-huh. And the players they've bought, they're like a rare example of seeming to buy players that actually improve the team, and they're not just going, oh, this guy's 25 million, he scored 12 goals for Lyon last year. Like, you know, they're actually putting a bit of effort and research into the players they're signing and stuff like that.
Exactly. They're doing the exact opposite thing that Sunderland and Newcastle do when they get to that level.
I know,
instead
but
of improving, you know, which is what Aston Villa have done with the players that they've signed, Barkley and Traore and stuff like that. Sunderland and Newcastle just don't do that. They don't seem to move on and improve. They just stay the same. Well, Sunderland's Sullen's case tumble like a stone.
I mean, I was talking to one of the lads at work the other day, and he's a Rangers fan, so he's loving life at the moment. And I said to him, like, look, basically, Plymouth Argyle, Sunderland are playing at home to Plymouth Argyle tonight. I'm not going to stay up and watch it at fucking midnight or whatever time it starts, because I guarantee this team who are coming to Sunderland, who haven't won away for more than a year, will pick up their first away win in 14 months tonight. There's never been a more safe bet that would happen.
And it did.
There was anything like that. Sunderland just can't. Yeah. We just get beat. Lee Johnson,
I mean, it's awful.
I'm sick of him. Like, I'm not saying we should sack him. He might be good. He might be not. I'm not bothered. Like, obviously, I don't think he should be sacked. We've just got him. But he's just like, his first interview, he was like, I hope I don't confuse the players with the stuff I'm talking about. Like, get over get over yourself, man. What are you going to tell him? Score more goals.
He's talking about, he's very business-like in the way that he speaks, all this jargon and something about a chimp complex or something like that he was talking about in the week. I mean, I've got no idea
they've picked up 8 points out of 21. Like, be a bit more simple?
A little bit a little bit similar to Howard Wilkinson when he was the manager, remember, when he was talking about the monkey on the people's nettle, backs and
all of that.
Yeah. And everyone was like, what's he talking about, man? So, I mean, hopefully he's not like that, but I can't remember the last time. I'll listen to the games and I'll watch them as well when I can bring myself there, but I can't remember the last time I celebrated with scoring. I can't, and that's awful.
I mean, fair play to Charlie Wyke up front. He scored a fair few goals this year, but imagine if we had somebody good.
Yeah. Thing is about Charlie Wyke, he's got the best hair transplant ever in history.
Where's it come from? He's overtaken Antonio Conte in the hair transplant stakes.
Can remember that Bulgarian keeper who had the wig?
Bobby Mikhailov.
Yeah, he was class, him. I mean, that was just a wig, wasn't it? I mean, he's diving around. What if it comes off, that wig?
Must have been held on with something strong.
Super glue. Must have
anyway, been. Anyway, I know that's a lot of football chat. Let's move on from football and talk about sci-fi action films, something like that.
No. Well, first of all, we've got these questions to do.
Oh, you want to do that now? Okay.
I might as well do that now, I think, because we'll talk about the film afterwards.
Okay.
So on the good old Twitter, I asked, you know, if anybody had a question to ask us. And we had various people sort of send questions in. So here's the first one. The first one's from Leon, who's the bass player in The Coronations, who were brilliant.
Is this Leon Snotsky?
Yep. Uh-huh. Okay, and Leon wants to know, what is the most bizarre program or film that you've watched on TV and terrestrial TV?
Oh, did he say film? I thought he just said TV. I think we've either covered the most bizarre film when we did Society in the third episode we've ever done.
I knew that's what you'd say. I kind of guessed that.
I think that's the most.
Say.
I didn't realize you said film. I thought you said TV. I've got an answer for the TV.
Either or. So what's your TV one? See if it's the same as mine.
I think it might be. I think Jam is the weirdest TV show I've ever seen.
Yeah, it is. It's not the same answer that I have, but Jam is mental. I love the day-to-day, and I love all that stuff, Chris Morris stuff, Brass Eye and that, but I couldn't watch Jam.
I remember got the DVD. I remember we tried to watch it loads of times, and few bits we used to like, and then some bits we just, I don't know. I don't think I've ever watched.
Was it Kilroy pissing up against windows?
I think when Kilroy went mad, and he's like pissing on a, like in a shopping centre, pissing on like Rumbelow's window, where the telly's showing Kilroy in the window.
It was just insane, and it was horrible. It was almost unwatchable, wasn't it?
Well, it's all disorienting, isn't it? So it was on like Warp, so Aphex Twin, like soundtrack and all of that kind of stuff. So
it's difficult to listen to anyway, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
So yeah, I was thinking about what it might be, because you've got kind of, look, Twin Peaks is weird. You know, you could say Twin Peaks, but...
Yeah, well, see if it's like my one then, because this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen on a telly. Can I remember where that mad German doctor was doing autopsies?
Oh, you love that. You're always talking about him, the guy with the hat.
The guy with the hat. That was the craziest thing I've ever seen. He was like some Bond villain or something.
I guarantee he is not allowed to practice. Why is a German guy doing it on British TV? Because he's not allowed to do it in Germany.
He's been banned. He's been banned from Germany. That was the kind of thing that you'd expect to be on like live TV or something.
I forgot about that, yeah. A live autopsy by a fucking Stetson wearing German doctor.
Mentalist.
Yeah.
I mean, he's blatantly a Nazi.
Yeah, he's just like, and maybe now we can put this arm on this body. No, stop it. Stop splicing the humans.
Yeah, he's definitely doing that. The other one that I thought of was a TV program called Chimera, which was insane about this kid who was also a monkey.
Okay.
So check that one out. That one.
Rings a bell, but I can't 90s, remember.
It was a hideous television program. Absolutely awful. Okay. Next one we've got from Neil Graham. He wants to know, who's the worst bloke out of Brian May, Bono, Norman Price, or Philip Schofield? Now, I've got a question. Who's Norman Price?
Who's Norman Price?
He's the guy out of Fireman Sam.
Yeah, he's the naughty kid out of Fireman Sam.
It's definitely him.
Right. Am I right in thinking that in every episode he sets a fire?
Yeah, he's just a pyro, isn't he? A pyromaniac.
I mean, the correct answer is Bono, obviously, because he's probably the worst bloke, just out of any bloke. So
yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of Bono. But
do you like
a couple of the songs I like, but I wouldn't sort of go out and listen to a U2 album or anything like that. I wouldn't, you know.
Well, I've never really given albums a go, to be honest. Uh-huh. I think we banned a little bit like REM. Like I definitely like REM more, and I've tried to listen to albums by them more, but. Uh-huh. Like a 20-song best of REM is probably fucking superb. I think I could probably get away with about 8 to 10 U2 songs that I like.
Yeah.
I like that first one. What's that? I Will Follow. Was that the first song?
Yeah, I think so. And there's another one called Gloria, which I like as well. But that's like the, you know, the earlier stuff. Yeah. So I don't mind Discotheque.
I know. I remember you buying that.
Yeah. I don't mind that. So what we got next? We've got from New Reality Records, right? They've sent us something. Uh-huh. Would you pick John Steed, James Bond, or Simon Templar? Now we don't know any of those people apart from James Bond, really, do we?
To be honest, I mean, pick them for what? I don't know.
Would you pick one to come into your house and fumigate your home?
Honestly, I've got no interest in any of those characters at all.
Yeah.
Like I don't think New Reality Records. I would quite like to give you that question a bit more respect, but I don't like James Bond. I think he's a dick. Simon Templar, I've never seen a saint. And I think John Stead used to play for Sunderland and Blackburn and he was shit. So I'm definitely not bothered about him.
Definitely not Dave bothered about John Stead. Val Kilmer played the same guy in the film though, didn't he? I think I've seen that, like the late 90s and stuff. But have you seen Val Kilmer recently?
Bizarre character, isn't he?
Aye, he's not well though, is he? I mean, he's a shadow.
Definitely not.
He's a shadow of his former
self. Can't talk though, he's got his throat.
Yeah,
that's
right, something at his throat, yeah. Uh-huh. Aye, I saw like
His theories are a bit out there, aren't they?
I don't know about his theories, Cliff.
It's interesting. Mind
honestly, enlighteners about his theories.
He's just a very out there guy. Like, he just creates art, and he creates art that are all these kind of stories of things that he's done in his career or abstract versions of stuff. Uh-huh. And he's just quite out there. He's not yet
I used to like Val Kilmer.
Away from a Hollywood star as he was once.
He couldn't.
I've always liked him as well. I don't know what happened in his career that he just ended up with a couple of dodgy roles and then just disappeared, really, didn't it?
I just don't think he was bothered, was he?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it. Like, honestly, read a couple of interviews with them, which is good.
Yeah.
So John Steed, is that the Avengers? That film was meant to be one of the worst films ever. I've never seen that. I've never seen a second of the telly show. I've never seen that film. I've never seen the Marvel Avengers. I've seen about 3 James Bonds, and I've not seen a minute of The Saint either the Val Kilmer or the TV version. So. Not qualified to answer that.
Well, we've commented on it quite a lot, considering we couldn't comment on it.
Yeah. Can't answer you. we've also got a couple of questions from our mate Dan, who was on the podcast before. He said, what is your favourite novelty song?
Favourite novelty song? Easy, this one, I think, because the first single I ever bought was a novelty song by wrestlers Randy Savage, Bret Hart, The Undertaker, and somebody else who I can't remember, and it was called Slam Jam.
Didn't even know this existed.
It's absolutely awful.
Can you sing a bit of it?
I can't sing a bit of it because I can't remember much about it. Try to find it and stuff. It'll probably be on YouTube.
That'll be a nice answer for Dan, being a wrestling man. I'm genuinely not aware of that.
Dan will have to try and search out Slam Jam. I'm sure it was like Randy Savage. And I think it was done by Simon Cowell.
Was it?
I think so. He had something to do with it, I think, I'm sure. So, but yeah, that was atrocious. So that's my favourite. What about you?
Mine.
Are you
is...
searching for Slam Jam, aren't you?
No, I'm having a look at what he said.
Who said?
Well, Dan said. Asked him what his was.
Oh, was it?
He said, "Donald wears your trousers." Is his?
It's a good one.
Mine is the Monster Mash.
Yeah, the Monster Mash is a good
one. It's amazing, isn't it? It's great.
Yeah. When we had an idea that we'd start a band, the first song that we wanted to cover was the Monster Mash.
Yeah, great song.
Yeah,
it's perfect. It's a perfect song. I genuinely love it.
It is good song.
He's got a Christmas one,
mm-hmm.
which is remarkably similar, but just the words are about Christmas and not Halloween.
Right.
That was that one. And then our mate Sai, he said, what would you, if you were in a big fight and it was like in a film, what would your soundtrack music be to that big fight?
I think it would be What's New Pussycat. I think that
would
get the crowd going, you know. They're always doing Sweet Caroline at these big fights and that, aren't they? I'm assuming I'm involved in a big fight.
What are you talking about?
Am I? You've just asked us if what song would play if it had a big fight I was involved in.
Well, what crowd? What do you mean the crowd are going?
The crowd? You don't watch boxing, do you?
No, I'm talking about like you're in a film or something and it's a fight scene.
But I assume, a fight scene.
Uh-huh. That was my understanding of it.
I assume that you were asking me about, or Si was asking us about me ring entrance music to a big fight. But you've got crossed wires there.
Maybe
you should explain yourself a little bit better.
You just said you're about to get into a fight. What song do you have as your soundtrack?
See?
That's not a boxing match, just a fight, like an imaginary. You're getting into a tussle with somebody, a scuffle on the streets. What song is in your imaginary soundtrack? Yeah,
I'm allowed to kick, am I? I'm allowed to scratch.
You can kick. You can pull hair like you usually do.
I do not pull hair. We've never had a fight, Cliff.
With each other?
Yeah. We've had a falling out once, haven't we?
We did, yeah. But no blows for exchange.
No blows, no blows. You just ran out of a taxi.
I was always getting accused of taxi shenanigans.
Yeah, but you used to. What you used to do was just escape from the taxis.
I think I've made up for it in later years.
Yeah, you have. Yeah. Anyway, what's yours then?
You know what? I couldn't think, like, just obvious stuff comes to mind, like, because I think I automatically think of like Martin Scorsese films and stuff like that. But you can't have "Gimme Shelter" soundtrack in another fight scene that's been done to death.
It has.
So I don't know what would I have.
You don't know.
"Fucking in the Bushes" by Oasis. I think I might have that.
Yeah, that's a good one. But that's already been done as well.
Is it? Is it? Yeah, fuck. I've already seen that once.
I like Snatch.
Maybe I'd have like a classical thing then, like, or is that Raging Bull? I'm probably just, I can't get away from it.
Yeah, you're ripping off all the fight films, aren't you? You are. But good question anyway, Si. Like that one.
Maybe people can tell us. We'll tweet out, see what people think. We'll ask some of these questions. And feel free to send in any random question you want as well.
Yes.
Maybe also, and if you want to ask us any personal questions, you can also ask them. See what
we've
come
had
up
enough
with.
Of you asking personal questions about me bathing habits and that.
I still didn't get you. I listened back to last week's podcast and you wriggled out of that one. You didn't get end of it, did you? In fact, I don't even think I ended up asking the question.
I don't think you did, actually. I
didn't. Talcum powder based question.
I don't even have talc. I'm not talced up.
Well,
at all.
The point was, I've returned to the talc and I'm using it.
What do you mean you've returned to it? You used to use it previously.
As a child, my mom would put a bit of talc on it when I got out of the shower or the bath.
Would you? Just chuck it at you.
I don't know how it was administered. Just squeeze the bottle and it like puffs out. And then you walk through it like a lady with posh perfume.
What does it do for you? Does it make you?
I'll tell you what it does. It stops the balls from sweating quite so much.
Oh, you and the balls. You and the balls. So you're using that now, are you? To put on your balls?
I'm not doing it right now, but
no, I know you're not doing it right now, but that's your routine, shower routine. How do you make sure that you walk into the with your balls? That's going to be more difficult, isn't it?
Just get somebody else to squeeze it.
Did you ever have the chicken pox as a kid?
Yeah, I did.
You remember being covered in Calmine lotion?
What's the one that you drink though?
That's Pepto Bismol or something in it.
But there's like a white. Dan will tell us. We had like this white chalky stuff. That we drink. It was
Nobby had that when one
milk of
London,
magnesium. Remember?
That's it, man. Milk of magnesium.
I threw it in his face in the hallowed Oasis trip.
You did. Always get back in, Nobby, don't we?
I know. Well, we need to do that podcast. We need to do the podcast of that trip soon. With or without him, I've told you, we'll empty chair him if he doesn't come on.
We'll have to. But yeah. So, yeah, I was never one of talc, but I've definitely had Calmine lotion.
Well, honestly, you'll get it. You run around with your footy and stuff like that when you're training the kids.
Not these days, I don't.
You can put the talc away around for now, then.
I've never put anything on me balls.
Nothing.
Yeah.
I've seen you put a rubber glove on them before.
Yeah, but that was
look at me udders, everyone.
Cow and chicken.
Oh, disgusting. Right, what we talked about, we've been on for about fucking an hour and we haven't mentioned the thing that we're meant to be talking about. Which, to be honest, I loved it, but I don't think I've got a lot to say about it, so maybe it's for the best.
Oh, well, But yeah, this is one of my, ever since we started the podcast, I've been asking you to watch this, haven't I? Mm-hmm.
And I've refused.
You've refused, or you've claimed that you couldn't get it.
I watched it a day after it was available to my eyes.
Did you? Oh, well, that's good. I love this film. It's one of my favorites. We're going to talk about Dredd from 2012, mm-hmm. Which is a sci-fi action film. It's based on a comic from 2000 AD. Yep. And I just love it. I remember the first time I watched it, I was blown away by it. It was absolutely amazing. I don't think many people went to pictures to see it, and that's why I haven't seen like sequels and things.
But yeah, and also there must be something that with the rights going on, because it's 9 years later and it's only just available on Netflix and stuff like that. So there's obviously must be a reason why it's not being shown and stuff like that. I don't know, but anyway, I watched it for the first time of the day and I thought it was excellent. But just to go back to the comic 2000 AD, probably when we were growing up and we were teenagers, it was for people a few years older than us, I would say. Like, I remember reading it, but I was probably, by the time I could understand that, I was probably more into football and just reading like Match and Shoot and stuff rather than that.
Well, I didn't have a lot of comics as a kid. The only things that I would get would be the things we talked about before, like a Dandy annual for Christmas or something. I never had any Marvel comics or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I did have these ones. I had a big sort of batch of them because me uncle gave us them when I was about 10 or 11, something like that. So I knew who Judge Dredd was and stuff like that. And it's very gory, the comics, isn't it? It's
it's a comic book, a bit adult. Like, definitely, or young adults. Like, it's not... Or adults, obviously, but not. It's certainly not a young kid's comic book. And it was British, isn't it? Like, I'm sure, or is it?
Yeah, it is. It's British.
A bit like Roy the Rovers. It wasn't always just about Judge Dredd. Yeah. There was different comic strips within it. I remember.
I think the guy who created that actually did a bit of Roy the Rover stuff. The guy called John Wagner. Yeah.
Okay.
And he created it. And another guy, Carlos Esquerella, he did the art and stuff. But John Wagner as well did a graphic novel. It's a History of Violence, which is a Cronenberg film as well.
I love that film. It's great.
I knew that you liked that film, so I thought I'd mention that.
I didn't know that was from a graphic novel. Well, two of our listeners will be happy about that, because my brother is a like comic guy and loves graphic novels, and my dad loves Viggo Mortensen. So there we go.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Viggo Mortensen as well.
But I think 2008, there was one guy who he went to my junior school. I don't know if he went to your comprehensive school, or he might have gone to Harton, but a guy called Gareth Briggs.
Right.
And he used to live up the road from Reedy. And I wasn't like best mates or everything, but we used to hang out every now and then. And he loved it. Like, he was the one guy I knew who used to have 2008. So I'd read it every now and then. And I used to prefer, and this is probably just me being, I don't like Judge Dredd. It's not as good as Strontium Dog, which I think was like one of the other strips within it. I don't know if you remember that, but I always used to prefer that one. But
Well, I didn't. I was always a big Dredd fan. From the few comic books that I did have that my uncle gave us, it was the Judge Dredd ones that I liked.
I remember it was a Sylvester Stallone film, Judge Dredd.
Well, that's one of the reasons why this film didn't do very well, I think, is because of that film. So I think people had, you know, the idea that was Judge Dredd, that Stallone film. That's what it was all about.
Have you seen it?
I've seen it, yes. It's absolutely terrible. Absolutely awful.
Is it from like 1995 or something?
Yeah, I mean, they've turned it into a comedy, and it's just not.
Is it a comedy? I can't remember. I couldn't remember it being a comedy, but
yeah, it is. It is a comedy, and it's really poor. I think it wasn't meant to be, but then when Stallone sort of got on board, he made loads of changes to it and stuff like that. it's just Stallone's just ego out of control in that film, I think. And one of the things that the reason why people who like Judge Dredd don't like that is because he takes his helmet off and he never does. He never does in the comics, which he doesn't in this film.
Well, he puts it on at the beginning. You don't see his face, but you see him put the helmet on, and then he's him going to work.
He's always like in shadow or something. You never actually see his face in the comic.
Bit like the Mandalorian, but you do see his face. But whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit like that. But, I mean, it's like if Batman started running around, you know, doing, you know, solving crimes or whatever without his outfit on, his mask.
It is a bit like, like when people talk about like the darker bits of Batman. I think Judge Dredd has that kind of feel. The bits of Batman that seem to be popular now, which is the graphic novel kind of Year Zero kind of things. So I think Judge Dredd in this film has a bit of that feel about it. I thought it was excellent. Like, I genuinely didn't watch it when it came out. And you're right. I remember, I'm not a huge fan of the comics, so I didn't know them enough. I saw the Sylvester Stallone one, which I remember being shit, but I can't remember anything about it. When this one came out, it was a bit like, whatever. Another action film about Judge Dredd. Like, I'm not arsed. But actually, if you take away those preconceptions about what the comic book might be or what that other film was, and just watch it as a standalone action, like sci-fi film, it's brilliant, genuinely brilliant. Like, I don't, there's not many flaws in it, I would say.
I don't think there's any flaws in it at all. I think it's a complete throwback, this film. It's like a film that's been made for adults, and you don't generally see those type of things anymore. You see them on TV, you know, but you don't see, you know, a film that's made for adults or, you know, trying to get people in the cinema or whatever.
Yeah.
So they dull down the violence and stuff like that. And it's a very violent film.
Yeah, very violent and very graphic.
Yeah, but sometimes the violence is like beautiful, the way that it's shot, because the take in this film, a drug called slow-mo, which slows down time. It sort of slows it down to 1%.
It slows down the person who's taking its perception of time, right? So everything around them is going in real time, but they feel everything.
Yeah, they perceive it to be going slower. And when that happens, whenever anybody's taking that drug, you see it on the screen, and it's almost, it's like psychedelic.
Yeah, it's good.
It's beautiful.
It's great. It's really good. I think that is the thing with this. It's a very graphic, violent film, but it's a very stylized way of presenting it. I don't think it's gory, and I don't think it's like, it doesn't make you like wince at any bits of it.
Or
a few bits of it anyway. Maybe you do. But it just has this visual appeal that it adds. It probably wouldn't be as successful a film without that, if it didn't have that look and feel about it, and it was just the story on its own. Without those kind of effects, I don't think it would be as good. And I think you're right, it is a bit of a throwback. Again, a little bit like a couple of things we talked about recently. It feels like a very kind of 70s movie, but done like now with modern kind of techniques and stuff.
I mean, what it reminded me of was Escape from New York, which is one of my favorite films. But also reminds us a bit of RoboCop as well.
Yeah.
And the way it was.
It has those kind of 80s things in, but I think also like reminds me of a bit like Serpico or something like that.
Ice Cream Man's here.
What?
Can you hear the Ice Cream Man?
Oh, yeah, there he is. why is that still a thing?
I don't know. Is it
I mean, for a fact, anyway, it's fucking snowing, isn't it? And nobody's allowed out the house. So why is the Ice Cream Man around? What's the temperature in the South Shields now? Must be like zero.
But the thing is about our Ice Cream Man is he also deals in counterfeit cigarettes.
Of course he does.
And people rely on him. Not me. I don't smoke real cigarettes anymore. But anyway, away from the Ice Cream Man. So it helps that like Alex Garland did this, who like wrote it and produced it, because he's like a massive Judge Dredd fan.
Yeah,
And there's a lot of
is Alex Garland the guy who wrote The Beach? Is that the same guy, right?
Yeah, The Beach, Ex Machina, and stuff.
Yeah,
as well.
And then he directed like Ex Machina and Annihilation, which Is it Annihilation? The one that went straight to Netflix?
That's right, yeah. Which is a film that I love. I think it's great. It is. The first time I watched it, I was like, what's going on? And then I watched it the second time and I was like, yeah, this is brilliant.
I think some of the effects and stuff are quite similar to this.
I think.
Is it Domhnall Gleeson? Is that how we pronounce it? Domhnall?
Yeah, I think so. He's in both.
He's in X Machina, and this is in the. He's good. I like him. I think Alex Garland adds that kind of visual layer to it, that kind of technology, like sheen, technological sheen to it. It's directed by a guy called Pete Travis. From Salford.
But there's some people who say that Alex Garland directed it, and one of those people who's come out and said that is Carl Urban, who plays Judge Dredd. He's come out since and said, well, Alex Garland did it.
So what did Pete Travis do?
Who knows? But that's what Carl Urban's.
Well, if you have a look at Pete Travis's like CV, does stand out. Like, this is very different to everything else that he's done. I don't know if you've seen Vantage Point that came out a few years before this.
I don't think I've seen that.
It's pretty good. It's all right. It's like a president's getting shot at this thing, and then you see it from different people's
perspectives
of how it played out. It's all right. It's got Dennis Quaid in it. I like Dennis Quaid.
Oh, I like Dennis Quaid, yeah. I like Enemy Mine. That's his best
film. And Great Balls of Fire. Great Balls of Fire. Great. The name on the box is Pete Travis as the director, but it does feel very much like Alex Garland stuff, who is also involved. Well, Carl Urban, you said, is a star. What do you think of Carl Urban?
I think he's excellent in this film. Absolutely brilliant. He can't really do much with a helmet covering most of his face.
He's just got a grumpy smile.
He's great. Because, I mean, Judge Dredd's all he cares about Judge Dredd is upholding the law, doesn't he? That's all he cares about. And I think he pulls it off really well. And if you ever see Judge Dredd's face in the comics, he's always making that kind of
He's got that grimace face. Like down perfectly.
He has, eh?
You think if this was made again now, it would be Keanu Reeves who gets this role?
I don't think they'd make it now. One, it didn't make, its money back or what have you.
Yeah.
Because it's a violent film and people don't like those type of things anymore. Although people who go to the cinema don't particularly like to watch those films because it's a cult film now.
Yeah.
And, it's regarded as, a really, really good science fiction film.
Mm-hmm.
That's certainly how I feel about it. I think that, should be making a sequel of it, but they won't because obviously it's just about money and that's something I couldn't care less about. I just want to see a good film and this definitely a good film. Lena Headey as well, she's brilliant in it as the villain.
Yeah, she's really good. Obviously kind of, I've never really watched it, but she's Game of Thrones lady. Cersei Bannister, is that the name?
Lannister.
I'll get you
to watch the first episode of Game of Thrones.
I've seen the first episode of Game of Thrones, and that's what made us not watch any more of them.
Oh well, I've read all the books as well and stuff, so I'm a fan. But yeah, I like her, but she's brilliant in this film. She's like a maniac sort of. She's a prostitute, isn't she? Originally, who's disfigured by someone and then bites off the penis.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Good on her.
But then what eventually happens is she's sort of running this mega block.
So it's set in a like dystopian future, surprise, surprise. Yeah. And cities are kind of
dystopian futures.
Well, there's never an alternative to that in any film that's ever made. There's never like a nice future, is there? Not a utopian future in any.
I think that's probably because science fiction writers and stuff like that generally want to predict the future, and that's probably where we're heading.
So the city, they're called mega cities. This is Mega City One, where Judge Dredd operates, and basically the premise is that there's no arrest, go to court, see if you're guilty and all of that. The lawmen, the policemen are essentially lawmen and judges. So there's a squad of judges who basically arrest you and then instantly decide whether you should be going to jail or killed or whatever. They do everything.
Yeah.
There and then.
Judge Dredd. And executioner, aren't they?
Yeah, and Judge Dredd is a legendary one of these guys. And the cities are like basically cities now, but they're all like boarded up and everybody lives in these huge blocks. And the block in question here is basically a slum, which is operated by Lena Headley's character, Mama, who occupies the top few floors and basically is...
Well, she occupies the top floor originally and then she takes over the rest.
Yes. Yeah.
So what's happened is there's been a nuclear war and only these mega cities sort of exist. Mm-hmm. So that's what's happened. And obviously what they're doing is because, you know, there's an awful lot of people sort of crammed into the same space. They're building sort of bigger tower blocks and bigger tower blocks all the time. But it's a very claustrophobic sort of place because there's so many sort of people living in these sort of cities, you know. Mm-hmm. And like you say, you know, the judges are the ones who sort of try and keep crime down to a minimum, but they can only respond to a certain number of incidents at one particular time.
Yeah.
And Judge Dredd on this particular occasion is taking out another judge called Judge Anderson, who's a psychic.
She's a new recruit. So this is our trial day. And she's got it, like, it's quite hard to get the job.
It is quite hard. It is definitely quite hard. But yeah, it's like a day in the life of Judge Dredd. I mean, you don't necessarily need to know the law of Judge Dredd or anything like that, you know, or why. You know, the sort of, you know, if a nuclear war's happened or what have you, you don't need to know those things. It's just a day in the life of Judge Dredd.
You see him on a day when, you know, the next day might be similarly awful. Yeah. The day before might have been as bad. You kind of get the impression that this is just what happens every day. And this is like, as far as the first day on the job goes for Judge Anderson, who's played by Olivia Thirlby, I think, who I think is excellent in this. I think she's really, really good because she's kind of the point of humanity, isn't she? Like Judge Dredd's very much a closed book. He's everything by the book. He is the law book, and he doesn't veer from it.
He doesn't care, does he?
He's not bothered about anything other than doing his job, and he won't veer from the very strict rules that they have. He's got no kind of personality, really. Mama's obviously fucked. Like, she's an awful character, but a product of the place and time where she's been.
Yeah.
And so's Olivia Thirlby, character Judge Anderson. She's this young recruit who's also had something awful has happened to her family along the way. And she's got this psychic ability, which means, like, when she touches someone, she sees, like, what's going on.
I just think she can just read people without touching them.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. She's just psychic. And she's obviously, you know, she goes out with Judge Dredd to try and see whether she can be a judge, doesn't she?
Yeah.
And that's the whole idea.
And the thing is, like, really, she's too emotional and too nice to be a judge. Certainly by Judge Dredd standards, which just seems to be like there's no gray area with these guys, and she's obviously got a bit more compassion, and her backstory means that she's not quite as black and white as Judge Dredd is and the other guys. But yeah, what a first day on the job for her. It's an absolute nightmare.
It is, because they call to a place called Peach Trees, don't they? Which is where Mama sort of resides, and where she's creating this drug called slow-mo, which we talked about a little bit before, which slows down time and stuff like that. And they get locked in, don't they? In a brilliant kind of way. They kind of close off the rest of the world of Judge Dredd, don't they?
Yeah.
So that you're in this one place.
Yeah.
And I think that's another brilliant thing, probably because they didn't have the money to sort of you know, make this massive sci-fi world. Although when they are outside, it still looks amazing, still looks absolutely brilliant. But it was just, what it also does is just make the story just so simple. It's just simple, a really simple story and an easy, easy film to watch. For me, it's the kind of film where, like, I switch it off and I think, oh, I really enjoyed that. I can't wait until I watch it again.
Okay.
That's what I get from it. I just think it's really good. I think it's cleverly done. I think it looks brilliant. The 3D bit, because it is a 3D film and it was only released in cinemas.
Another reason why it probably didn't do really well. Because
yeah, well, that's it. They didn't release it in 2D. I don't think it did much promo for it or anything like that.
It's so mad. It's,
it's mental.
It's perfect, like, route to marketing a film badly or getting as few people as possible to watch it. Like, that would be another reason why I wouldn't have seen it at the cinema. Yeah. Like, a 3D, I'm not asked.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to see 3D films. I think I went to watch The Wizard of Oz prequel in 3D.
The James Franco one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the 3D effects were actually quite good in that. But I wouldn't go out my way to watch a 3D film.
I've seen a couple. I can't remember
what you've seen.
I'm going to say like a Spider-Man one, maybe.
Yeah.
It's just fucking swinging towards the camera.
But I don't have a 3D TV or anything like that. And, you know, I've got it on Blu-ray, so I watch it on 2D. And the effects, even though they're not in 3D, they almost look 3D.
Yeah, you can kind of tell. But again, it's probably a film that was using technology for 3D that it didn't need to. I mean, imagine how much money must have gone into that kind of stuff. Uh-huh.
I mean, it's a gimmick. It was a gimmick at the time, wasn't it? I mean, the 3D sort of, you know, films have come around and they've always gone away again, haven't they? That's the thing with 3D. It's never lasted, has it? It's always just been a fad. And obviously this film came out around about the time that sort of fad was happening.
Yeah, it's a victim of it, really, because, I mean, obviously I watched it in 2D, and I didn't realise it was released in 3D until today when I was doing a little bit more, research into it. So I didn't know that. You don't need any film in 3D, really, do you?
No.
I went to see a miserable Nick Cave documentary in 3D.
Did you?
Yeah.
I mean, the only time it's ever worked for me, and I've actually... thought that, something is, I can almost reach out and touch it, was that Wizard of Oz one. Other times that I've seen 3D, it just doesn't work.
Was the so what? What did you say?
Which part?
The bit that you said it worked? I thought you said Voldemort?
No, the Wizard of Oz one. I told you. So that's the only time that it sort of seemed to work. All the other times I've been to watch a 3D film, I don't know whether it's because of the amount of money that the point rate or what have you, and it's just, they're just, putting 3D on it as a gimmick.
Tell somebody throws something and that's going to spin towards the screen and go back again or whatever. We'll put things in it that kind of justify it being 3D when it didn't need to be 3D, but they've decided it is, so then they have to add bits in that'll be relevant to it being 3D. Just all seemed a bit backwards way of making films, but obviously people must have thought it was the future. Did people buy 3D tellies? People must have spent thousands of pounds on 3D tellies. What was the point of that?
Well, 3D porn, surely.
You wouldn't want any of that business sticking out of the screen in your face.
I don't think, I've just bought a TV, a 4K one. I wouldn't go out and get a 3D TV. The only reason I think I'll get a 3D TV is to watch this film, and that's not good enough reason, is it?
There's not enough things in 3D to justify it.
Is it? Well, that's good, because it's a fad, isn't it?
It was a fad, but people obviously bought it, because I'm sure they started broadcasting football in 3D at one point.
They did,
Again, unnecessary. Mm-hmm. What are you going to gain from that? It's stupid.
That is daft, isn't it? It is just silly. It's absolutely crazy.
Anyway, do we get called to this tower block? They get locked in, and essentially they've got to make their way from the bottom to the top. Fucking classic. This is why I think it's a great like 70s kind of thing. They've got to make their way from the bottom to the top. It's like a computer game almost. Each level to get up there and then beat the baddie and stay alive while they do it. And there's various different people to beat along the way and challenges.
Yeah, yeah. It is like that. I mean, Momo sort of goes on the tannoy and tells all the residents to get in into the homes and stuff like that. And all the, you know, the gang who live in this mega block have got to try and take out Judge Dredd and Judge Anderson. Mm-hmm. So it's just it's them trying to survive and trying to get to the top to eventually get Momo, which will not spoil the ending, will we? But I love the ending. The ending's great.
Yeah, it's another, really good.
It's another sort of way that Judge Dredd doesn't care, because he doesn't know if it'll work what he does or not. He just does it.
He just tries it. it's good. Honestly, I think it's great. Carl Heinz Urban is good in it. Since gone
Carl
on.
Carl Heinz, where have you gone now? It's not really called
that's
that.
That's his name, yeah. Carl Heinz, like Carl Heinz Riedler.
Is it?
Yeah. It's his full name. He's from New Zealand. I don't know why he's called that. But yeah, he's obviously gone on to be, well, he was Bones in Star Trek. That was kind of his bigger break. He's quite clean cut in that, and he's quite, but the difference between Bones and his character in The Boys is couldn't be more different.
A lot of people don't like the new Star Trek films, but I quite like them.
I really like the first one. Yeah, I haven't seen the second one. Apparently the second one's crap, and I was going to watch the third one because it was filmed, well, bits of it were filmed here. A couple of the guys on my team like went to be extras in it, and a couple of scenes that were in.
Brilliant.
So I fancy watching that.
Extra. I'd love to be a red shirt in Star
Trek. Yeah, it would be amazing. Yeah, I watched the first one. I think Chris Pine's underrated as well. I think he's good.
Yeah, I think he's really good. There was one film I watched which I thought that he was in, which I thought this is going to be absolutely shit. And he was on, it was something where he was on a boat or something. I can't remember what it's called, but I'll try and find out. But it was absolutely brilliant, and he was excellent in this film.
Okay.
What the hell was it called?
I don't know that one, but I'll look it up. I think he's great. Hell in High Water is excellent in that. Jeff Bridges, so like a Western kind of thing. That's superb. And he's good in Horrible Bosses too.
No, well, I won't watch those films. Is Horrible Bosses the one where her friend takes her clothes off?
Yeah.
Right. So that's the only reason you watched it, isn't it?
No, it's because I like the three men in it.
You lying guest. But if anybody hasn't seen this film, I definitely... Yeah. If you like sci-fi and stuff, and not necessarily if you like comic book things, but like if you like 80s action, if you like stuff like that, definitely go out and watch it if you haven't, because it's well worth it.
I totally agree. And Brett's been trying to get me to watch it for ages, and I wasn't putting it off, but I also was thinking, I watch it, but whatever.
It's going to be crap.
And it honestly, it's just come on Netflix, I think. So I watched it and great. Like, totally agree. More people should have watched it at the time. It was probably a victim of its own botched marketing, I think.
Obviously, the 3D thing hasn't helped, does it? But yeah, the marketing side of it and stuff like that.
And especially, you know, if it's meant to be directed by one guy and it was really finished by another guy or whatever, that never bodes well, unless you're Bohemian Rhapsody. That doesn't work out.
Or Poltergeist.
Yeah.
That film, by the way, was called The Finest Hours.
Okay. I mean, it sounds
fine in it. Well, it was really good. I really enjoyed it, and he was really good in it. So
okay, good. Well, that's good.
Advise it.
Are we on to music? We have some music.
We do have some music, don't we?
Yeah.
Let's see who we've got this week. We've got a band called, if I can find the thing,
Future Fires.
Future Fires. That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're an indie band, indie stroke alternative band from Birmingham.
Yeah.
And the song's called Halfway Down.
Yeah.
What did you think of this song? I'm sure that you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I like it. It's a bit like louder and rockier than some of the stuff we've had on recently, but that's not no bad thing. So yeah, blow away the cobwebs a little bit. It's not metal I'm out. With Future Fires and Halfway Down. As we say every week, you can find us on Twitter at FCircusPod. Join in, send us your daft questions, ask us anything personal, and we might make something up to tell you the answer. You can find us on Facebook as well, and you can find us to listen to pretty much everywhere. And if you do that, share it, tell people, like it, and all of that stuff. I will speak to you next week, Brett, when we'll talk about something else. And yeah, this is Future Fires and Halfway Down. Goodbye, everyone.